over there not too happy.
The Fort Collins, Colorado, and Matt joining us here on the program. Matt, yeah, does the number of positive feedback outweigh the negative feedback you've gotten from this?
It depends on where you're looking at. Where is your sample? If your sample is CSU, no. If your sample is anywhere outside of CSU, overwhelmingly, yes.
I'm curious because, you know, I've been reading some of your Twitter mentions and everything, and the timing of this, I'm sure, is purely coincidental, the fact that CSU is now leading the Mountain West in men's basketball with the seven players coming off the win over Wyoming, and then this story comes out. I know I'm almost positive you'd say it's purely coincidental, but the timing sure had people in an uproar.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, so we received the report about a month ago, and we took a full month to just vet the thing and make sure everything within it was accurate, so we could, you know, really rely on our own reporting. You know, we could fall back on you know, citing the investigation, but rely on our own reporting that everything in here did take place, and that's why it took so long. But once we have that ready to go, and we wrap that up, honestly, Tuesday night during the Border War basketball game, and Wednesday we reached out to the Mountain West and to CSU, and, you know, reached out to them just a little before 8 or maybe right at 8, and, you know, waited until a little after 5 to publish.
Now, let me ask you this. After reading it, I read the whole article today, and it's really well written, it's really well researched, and everything in there, you know, that you guys covered. But I guess the thing that keeps jumping out at me is, if all of this stuff is true, and I'm assuming it is because you've sourced it a number of times and checked it and everything, and the athletic department actually recommended that Eustacy be fired, that he should be terminated because of his actions. Has the president, who essentially is the person who stepped in and said, no, we're not going to fire him, has there been any reaction from him? Has he had any attempt to justify his actions as to why he stepped in and wouldn't follow? Normally, a chief executive will follow the recommendation of the department and say, okay, let's go. But it seems like he's the only one that stepped in and said, no, we're not going to fire him. Has he had any response as to why that happened?
No, and we asked that yesterday of Tony Frank and CSU President Tony Frank, and he was actually the only one. You know, we wanted to sit down in person or at least do phone interviews with everyone, and you know, no one decided they wanted to do that. But we still got somewhat legitimate responses from Larry Eustacy, Joe Parker, and Craig Thompson, the Mountain West Commissioner, via email. Tony Frank, however, did not acknowledge our questions, and the university put out a general statement that they sent to us. And in that statement, it said that the university is pleased with the progress made in the past 3 years. But we asked Tony Frank just directly, of course, via email, but directly said, you know, why did you basically disagree with that recommendation?
How much pressure now will be put on Tony Franks to come out and say that, you know, now that this is out, you know, people on the CSU campus, we were talking about it yesterday, and Dave was saying, you know, this is a very liberal campus. I mean, right there, there's obviously going to be some sort of public outcry for this. Has that begun, or do you expect anything to come out of that, and do you expect Tony Franks to be peppered with questions once this if he does indeed make any statements or anything like that?
I honestly don't think CSU will make a statement beyond what they've already done, what they've already issued. That's just my experience dealing with them for the past 9 years, really, even back to being a student journalist there. I just don't think they're going to issue any more statement. That's their choice. I don't necessarily agree with it or think it's the best practice, especially given everything that's out there now. And, you know, it's clear that the athletic director recommended Eustacy be terminated, or his contract be terminated, and Tony Frank disagreed, apparently, because he said, let's put him on a personal improvement plan and see how that goes, and, you know, at least according to CSU, they feel like in the past 3 years that's worked okay.
Matt, you're a CSU graduate.
why do you hate your alma mater? Serious question, though. You had it. You in one of the responses to some of the people talking to you today, you said there's some language with the extension regarding extensions in his contract, where you know basically if one side of that says, I want to stay here, or we want to keep you around, that it only really takes one side to trigger that. Can you explain that a little bit further, and you know how that may have impacted, you know, whether or not where he sits going forward?
Right. Well, I mean, you see publicly, the media booster events has referenced his contract and his security. It's said in that report that he has mentioned it often as mentioning back then an 8-year contract, which just to basically say I'm there's nothing you can really do to me. And back then it wasn't fully 8 years. It was, it had the option of 8 years, but because you say, see, all you say, she has to do is say, hey, I want a 1-year extension every summer. That basically sees you can do nothing about it, because as the contract worded, either side can trigger that extension, and it does not have to be a mutual decision. And so because of that, Larry Fish received 3 1-year extensions. Now he's out of extensions. So, unless CSU writes up a new contract, his contract expires in 2021.
I'm sorry, but what idiot would ever? I mean, I'm a businessman. What idiot would ever write a contract like that that says all you have to do is tell me that you want to be extended, and we have to automatically extend your contract? If you go 2 and 28, you want to be extended for another year, you can automatically extend your contract. That's the dumbest contract I ever heard about in my life.
It's unlike anything I'd ever seen before, and keep in mind that Larry Stacey's first year at Colorado State, he did not have a contract. He worked on just a kind of understood employment agreement, and that contract was put into place following their NCAA tournament season, where they beat Missouri.
Matt Stevens, our guest, writes for the Coloradoan and Fort Collins. So, Matt, in your story, you mentioned that Eustachy, only 1 4-year player had stuck around through their entire 4 years. We were wondering how many high school seniors he actually did recruit there, because we know a lot of transfers and JUCO guys came in. How many actual 4-year players were involved in that he did recruit as high school seniors?
Right. Well, I think of, I'm just going off the top of my head, they got David Cohn, transferred to William & Mary. Carlton Hurst transferred to South Dakota, I believe. There's only been, he hasn't recruited that many freshmen.
Right.
There are 3 on the team right now, but they are not targeting any at the moment in their upcoming recruiting class. They didn't sign any in last recruiting class. There's a few more. I'm just basing on their names, but they're something Emmanuel Magbo had talked about earlier this season. Kelly asked him, and he said, why is it you're just going after JUCO guys and transfers, and why Larry does that? And Emmanuel says Larry doesn't have the patience to tolerate basically the learning curve of freshmen, so he's just not going to do it. And you can see, how that might be part of it too.
Does any of the behavior that came out from all the interviews you did surprise you about Larry Eustachy?
I wouldn't say surprising. I think some of the extent of what we found in the investigation, like the punting the basketball at practice, the throwing a chair at practice, I mean, things that sound very Bobby Knight-esque, especially the throwing of the unopened soda cans and just chunking those against the wall as hard as he can during halftime in front of his team, that did surprise me a little bit. Yelling, maybe not so much, but the particular language that was used. I won't get you guys an FCC violation, but there's some things that different than your regular, I would say your regular foul insults, that really I think jumped out. And it wasn't. I think something too was, it was not a matter of you are playing like a blank. It's you are a blank, and I think that might have made quite a bit of difference too.
The comparison that I made, yesterday is, Tim Miles. I mean, Tim Miles, if you ever watched the, you know, the Inside the Mountain show or whatever that was on the Mountain Network, I mean, you know, he coached hard, he yelled, he used foul language, but you never saw any indications that Tim Miles was going to cross the line. And I think that's, you know, that's the biggest difference between these two. That's where Eustachy, you know, really, really messed up, was that, you know, all these different things that you've mentioned. It seems like there's, you know, where Miles came up to the line and you know, did what everybody expects from a coach, Eustachy crossed it and then some.
Right, and I remember watching that show on the mountain, and, I remember a friend running, why does he keep blowing his whistle? It's like, no, they're bleeping out what he's saying. and it was, you know, are you bleeping kidding me? What the bleep are you doing? But he wasn't personally attacking with that link, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. It said in the article that they had to have Jack Graham or one of the representatives in his practices and in team meetings and at games and everything. Now I know all of his practices are closed, so nobody can be in there to see what's going on. Has that been relieved, or are there still, you know, restrictions on him, or is he pretty much at liberty now with closed practices to go and do whatever he does? And is there any guarantee that some of this stuff is still going on, but it's just not being reported?
No, that's another thing we asked CSU about yesterday, and they declined to give a full answer on whether that policy is still in effect. I still see, you know, Associate Athletic Director Steve Cottingham often, or almost always, at CSU press conferences after games. Or another member of the, you know, athletic administration, which would be Joe Parker's team. Sometimes it's Joe himself. I was at the women's game last night, and anytime I've been at women's games or even volleyball games, I don't see in the post game an athletic administrator. Occasionally, if you know they want to congratulate them on a big win, but you know last night there was just, you know, the SIDs in there, nothing out of the ordinary. So that's something that's always jumped out to me, and I know Joe Parker has traveled with the basketball team this year. I think he traveled at least to San Jose State, not more, and Cottingham still travels quite a bit.
Good stuff. Matt, really good job, you and Kelly. We appreciate you giving us some of your time, and I know it's been a busy time for you, and thanks for coming on again. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, hey, thanks. There you go. Matt Stevens joining us, the Coloradoan in